You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Their relationships with their girlfriends or their wife. No one, they shouldn't have more than one wife at a time.
University of Auckland Professor of Criminology Alice Mills recently conducted a study looking at the state of housing for those leaving prison. We talked about the lack of support that is available and how this can harm the rehabilitation of prisoners and their whānau. This included the strong correlation the study found between the lack of stable housing and prisoners ending up back in prison. We also discussed the impact on Māori and the even more severe lack of support for those communities and what support needs to be developed. To start off, could you tell us a little bit about the study you conducted looking at housing for those that leave prison and what the current system looks like for assisting ex-prisoners with housing?
Going Straight Home is a study that aims to look at the relationship between stable housing and reduced reoffending after release from prison. The current system in terms of housing is when somebody is released from prison, if they have served less than 2 years, then they will have access to something called out-of-gate services, or if they're on remand, they'll also, if they're released from prison, that is, they'll have access to out-of-gate services. These are, broadly speaking, navigational services, so they may help people get some housing, but they won't necessarily be able to give them housing per se. If they have served 2 years or more, they may be able to get access to various supported accommodation schemes that are run by community providers and funded usually by corrections, sometimes MSD, with assistance of Housing and Urban Development as well. Generally, though, when someone is released from prison, they are given the Steps to Freedom grant, which is up to $350, and it is usually, most people get $350. That, of course, is supposed to tide them over for about 2 weeks before they can get access to benefits. And generally, that is not going to be enough, nowhere near sufficient to last 2 weeks. It might pay for 1 week's rent if you're lucky, and even then leaves very little either for food or clothing or various other things that people need to re-establish their lives. There will, of course, be some people who are able to go back in the whānau, and some people who may own their own homes that they were able to go back to. But at the moment, there is no help. If you own your own home and you go into prison, there's no help there basically enable you to keep your home. It may be possible to do that, but it's generally something that you yourself have to organise. There's no help from corrections or anybody like that.
And what are the direct harms that this lack of help causes the prisoners and their families?
Well, there are several, really. The first one is it may make it very harder for them to reconnect with whānau. Particularly tamariki, particularly children. So we asked people what they found the hardest thing after leaving prison, and we asked them about difficulties in terms of finding housing. A lot of people weren't necessarily going to be released so that they were homeless on the street, but they were often going into things like hostel accommodation. And we heard many people saying that they really didn't want to go into that form of accommodation, not least which because there were lots of different rules and things like that, but also because it meant that it wasn't felt to be a safe place that children could visit. So that's the first thing that I want to highlight. Secondly, it can also make it very hard for somebody to get a job. We know that if they're in stable housing, they're much more likely to be in that mindset to be able to get a job, to have that support around them as well, that is going to enable them to keep going, keep attending a job. So it's also kind of really important in terms of employment. And also our research suggested that those with stable housing were more likely to be re-imprisoned than those without stable housing as well. So there is a potential connection in terms of re-offending as well.
In your research paper, you say that those with stable housing prior to their imprisonment should get the support they need to keep that housing. What kinds of support are we looking at here to help them keep this housing?
Well, there are several different forms of support to try and help people keep their housing, many of which take place in other jurisdictions. So really, in other jurisdictions such as England, Wales and Scotland, somebody will come into prison and they will be given a housing assessment. And what that means is somebody usually working on behalf of the prison, not normally necessarily the prison themselves, will ask them about their housing. And if they're in either on remand or just for a short period of time, they may try and actually take action to support that housing. Now, that all largely depends on financial support. I mean, some other jurisdictions, for example, people who are on remand for, say, a year or less can access benefits in order to ensure that their rent or mortgage or whatever can be paid. And similarly, if they're in for short sentences, then often there's a limit on how long they can apply for that kind of assistance from the state, but usually there is something there, say up to 13 weeks. So it's about trying to, in that sense, that's trying to keep enable people to try and keep their housing when they come into prison. The other thing is that if people are on long-term sentences, it might not be possible to save their housing when they come into prison, but it might be possible to save their belongings and minimise the amount of debt that they're going to be in. So in that case, you might have a housing officer in a prison, for example, actually negotiate with the landlord and with family and arrange for somebody to collect that person's belongings, which may also include identification documents and other paperwork that can be really hard to kind of re-establish life after prison without. So it's about saving their possessions rather than having them thrown out onto the street. It also may involve negotiating with landlords, which may be kind of the state or local council, as well as kind of private landlords, about trying to reduce the amount of debt that they get into as a result of unpaid rent as well.
Your study also found that Maori were more likely to live in unstable housing and even more likely to move several times after they leave prison. Now, what is the driver behind those kinds of statistics?
Also, we think that's predominantly about the fact that Maori are more likely to face discrimination in terms of housing, so more likely to face discrimination, particularly in the private rental market, for example. We also need to bear in mind that during the course of us doing this research, the number of people on the state housing or the social housing waiting list has gone up quite substantially as well. So that may also be part and parcel of it as well, is that people who are likely to more likely to need social housing may struggle to get that because of the high numbers of people in that position. And of course, we also need to bear in mind the impacts of colonisation, notions of intergenerational trauma, and also in some cases ongoing criminalisation as well. That's something that has happened kind of across generations. But all of that is going to have an impact in terms of people's access to housing.
That was Professor of Criminology Alice Mills talking about her research regarding ex-prisoners and housing support.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.